All right. If I could have some men come this morning. Greg, would you be willing to come this morning? Joe, don't go too far. Joe, would you be willing to help out this morning with our bread and juice? And Spencer, would you come? And Dennis, would you also come today? These brothers are going to come, and they're going to be coming around with these elements as we turn our hearts towards Christ. As they come around, take some time to reflect, remember, in the calmness and quietness of the morning and the moment, let's speak to the Lord in our hearts, confess to the Lord sin. I read recently that even our prayers of repentance need to be redeemed. Do you ever think about the gravity and the intensity of our sin? That it is such, it is so absolutely pervasive. It penetrates every atom of our being. That even as we're moved by the Holy Spirit to confess sin, to turn away from those sins, that even that repentance can be laced with pride, can be laced with sin. We don't even know, we can't even be conscious of all the sin that's in our lives. The same way we can't even be conscious. We can't even come close to being conscious of all the many multitude of ways that God is at work in our lives. And so as we remember Jesus, reflect on his blood, on his broken body for us, we need to be reminded that our repentance towards him, though he expects it, though he demands it, even it needs to be covered by Jesus' blood. So let's pray as we think about the body of Christ. Lord Jesus, this morning, we take this bread and we hold it in our hands, and we know that physically it is nothing more than bread bought at a store, packaged on a conveyor belt somewhere. But Lord Jesus, you gave meaning to bread, and that bread that you shared with those disciples 2,000 years ago, it was just bread as well. There wasn't anything about the bread, the physical thing of bread, that saved. It didn't magically become your body when you prayed over it. It has always and only been a marker, a visible, tangible symbol of your body and how your body has been broken for us. How you freely laid down your life and let yourself, the Lord of glory, the God of creation, be killed for our sake and for our sin. And it was the only and absolutely necessary sacrifice that could do that. We thank you, Jesus, for your body as we take it in remembrance of you. In your name I pray. Amen. Let's take it. As we take the cup in our hands and we look at its color, we're reminded of the blood of Jesus, and that's exactly what he wanted. It was wine that Jesus used on that first night with the disciples. We use juice. Point is, it's red. It signifies Jesus' blood. It doesn't become Jesus' blood. There's nothing about the juice in this cup or the bread that we've just eaten that saves us, but that point to what has saved us, and that is Jesus' blood. So as we drink it, remember what Jesus said. As often as you drink this, do it in remembrance of me, for my blood has been shed for the remission of your sins. Amen. I was only able to locate one of the baskets, the offering baskets, this morning, and it's right here. So do we have one volunteer that would like to make their way around all the tables this morning as we take the offering today? Anyone? Landon? All right, come on, buddy. You're the first hand I saw, so you get the nod. Landon is going to come after we ask the Lord to bless this offering. Let's pray, buddy. Lord, thank you for this day and for the chance yet again to gather in your name. We thank you for the chance yet again to give to your kingdom's work locally and globally. Bless this offering. May it be used to make much of Jesus. It's in his name I pray. Amen. As Landon comes around, hold your offering up or your Connect card if you want to put one of those in the offering basket. I'm going to clear this music stand off and ask Kyle to come on up at this time. As he's coming, let me just express to you my gratitude for what God has done and what God continues to do in our church. Last year, at around this time, Deborah and I began to pray as we looked at our financial situations. We were examining the church's financial situation, and it became apparent over the months of October and November last year that we wanted to make some changes in order to create some capacity here at Bridge financially, and that meant looking into and applying for and being hired by Cleveland Hope, our local association of churches, to be a pastor encourager, to be an equipper, to be a resource person for 65 churches across Greater Cleveland. And for this past year, I've been doing that work, and Monday night is a time to celebrate and come together, not to celebrate what I've done, to celebrate what God has done and is doing. But part of this process of taking on another role and dividing my time between Bridge Church and Cleveland Hope has meant for me the need, and as I see the opportunity, I want to seize it, the need for me to make part of my preaching ministry the empowering and equipping and training and developing of other preachers. And as I look at this church, I see men, in particular some young men, that God is using and God is building and God is calling and God is developing, and I just want to pour gas on that. I want to stoke that fire that he's doing here among us. As a small church, you might think, well, you've got one pastor. You only need one pastor. He can be employed and he can kind of handle most things and just preach every week. I don't want to have that mentality. Even at a small church level, I want to have the mentality that it isn't about me. It's about all of us looking to multiply ourselves by empowering and developing and discipling other people. And so Spencer preached a couple Sundays ago. Kyle's coming to preach today. And on about a monthly basis, you're going to see this. Not just Kyle and Spencer, because there are others, but you're going to see this, and it's necessary. And I talked with Jeff and Tom about this, and we prayed over it, and they affirmed and said, we would like for you to make part of your preaching ministry getting some other guys that experience and developing them. And so with that affirmation and their blessing, that's what we're doing. And so Kyle's worked hard on a message from Revelation 3, and he's going to come at this time. Kyle, come on up here, and let me pray for you. Lord, I lift up my brother Kyle. I'm so thankful, Lord, for him. I'm so thankful for Spencer. I'm thankful for all of the young men, all of the godly men that you've blessed this church with. And Lord, if I say that, I have to also say that I'm so thankful for our sisters as well. Lord, however we see a clear distinction in Scripture, that the work of preaching and pastoring and shepherding a church is a male responsibility. So we affirm that, and we want to build towards that, Lord, as we empower our younger leaders to step up and preach your word to your people. So, Lord, I pray your blessing on Kyle. I pray you would empower him, your spirit would speak through him to our hearts this morning from your word. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you. How's everybody doing today? It's good to see you all here. I know fall's been here for a few weeks now, but this is really the first Sunday I think we're actually experiencing that. I think last week I had shorts and a t-shirt, and today was hoodie and jeans, so it's there. But like Darren said, we're sticking in Revelation. We're actually going to be in Revelation 3, verse 7 through 13, and it's about the Church of Philadelphia. So if you'd all turn your Bibles with me to Revelation 3, verse 7, we'll go ahead and read the Lord's Word. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "The words of the Holy One, the true One, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you. Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world, to try those who dwell on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast what you have, so that no one may seize your crown. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Let us pray over this. Dear Lord, I'd like to thank you for your word today, the scripture that you've provided for us, Lord, and I just ask that we're able to take this to heart, that we can learn from it, God. I ask that you fill me with your Holy Spirit, that the words that come out of my mouth this morning are all yours, God. They're all about you, and that we just like to thank you for giving us this opportunity to come here today. In the Lord's name, amen. So, you know, over the past few weeks, we've been going over the other churches here, and, you know, a lot of them, they don't sound quite as good as Philadelphia, I guess. You know, we don't see any huge gripes when we read this passage. We don't see them talking about them worshiping Balaam and committing acts of sexual immorality. You know, we don't see them saying, you know, you're dead in your faith. You know, that's not to say that the Church of Philadelphia is perfect by any means, but there is a lot that we can learn from them, and there's a lot that we can learn from this passage of Scripture. So I had 4 points I wanted to go over this morning. I don't have any acronyms for it. I apologize. I know that's kind of the thing here. So you'll just have to bear with me here, you know, write it down or something. But the first thing I want to hit on is Jesus, and Jesus is all-powerful. If we look in verse 7, the words of the Holy One, the true One, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one opens. The Holy One. We're talking about Jesus Christ here. And, you know, it's such an assurance as Christians that when he opens that door to salvation for us, nobody can shut that. Nobody can take that away from you. If you look, you know, it's like last week we talked about the book of life, and when your name is written in that book, nothing can blot that out. You can't change that. And we also see other instances of this in the Bible. If you look at John 10, verse 28 through 29, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." We know that nothing can take us from God. God is all-powerful. God is all-sovereign. No other made-up God, no idol of this world, no earthly possession is able to separate us from him. And, you know, that's just something, you know, as Christians, that should empower us. That should give us joy, you know. Nothing anybody can say, nothing anybody can do to you can separate us from him. So that's something, you know, I think we got to remember it every day of our life. Sometimes I think we don't always recognize the sovereignty that God has. My second point that I'd like to hit on today is that everyone's going to acknowledge God sooner or later. It's going to happen. If you look at verse 9, it says, "Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you." You know, I know, I'm sure each and every one of you, you could go handpick out a few people in your lives, or you think, you know, I've tried to talk to them, I've shared the gospel, they are never going to listen, you know. They are never going to acknowledge God is king. You know, we have so many scientists of this world. We have so much technology. There's so many things that just cloud the reality of certain people in this life and distract them from the truth that, you know, God made us. We are his. And, you know, we can see in this passage of Scripture, there's going to be a day when they're going to be forced to know. They will know the truth. Unfortunately, you know, it would be too late at that time. But, you know, that's an assurance we have. You know, that goes along with God's sovereignty. Everybody's going to know the truth one day, and they're going to recognize God and Jesus as the Lord and Savior. My third point I wanted to hit on today is having strength through God. If you look at verse 8, it says, "I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name." Now, you notice how God didn't say, "I see you guys are really powerful people. I see that your strength, you know, you're large in numbers," stuff like that. No, he didn't say that. And if we look through the Bible, we see a lot of times God doesn't take like the strongest person. He doesn't take the most well-versed, educated person to do his business. A lot of times he takes people you wouldn't think of, and he uses them with his strength. A lot of times we limit ourselves to our own strengths when really we need to limit ourselves to God's strength, which is limitless. If you look back in Exodus, when God was talking to Moses, you know, he wanted to use Moses, and Moses was like, "I don't know, I can't really talk that well. You know, use my brother Aaron." We come up with excuses like that all the time. We can't doubt God's strength. We can't doubt God's power. He can use anybody. When Moses, when he turned the blood or the water into blood, that's not Moses. When he parted the Red Sea, that's not Moses parting the Red Sea. That's God using Moses to part the Red Sea. God can use us just like that. If you think that God can't make a miracle happen with any of us using his power, then you got to rethink how you're thinking of God. Because like we've established, God is all-powerful. God is all-sovereign. He can use each and every one of us for his glory. We can't limit ourselves to what we think we can do. You don't think, I don't know, I haven't read the whole Bible yet. I don't know everything there is, you know. We come up with these excuses all the time. You know, I can't speak well. You know, there's just tons of things we do to just make up excuses. And, you know, I really just want to hit on, you know, God has a plan, and he can use each and every one of us. So don't ever limit yourself to what you think your strength is. Rely on God's strength. And then that brings me to my final but also largest point. We're not going to be done quite yet. This is what I really want. I think we could really take away from the church in Philadelphia today, and that's the endurance that they had. You know, we've already established at the beginning, the Church of Philadelphia, you know, they're one of the two churches that really didn't get any huge gripes against them, the other being the church in Smyrna. You know, but what is it that they did so well? Well, we see, you know, it's their endurance. And endurance is something we need to have as a church, as well as Christians, you know, just in our everyday life. You know, God didn't say, okay, the Church of Philadelphia, they had some really good sermons and the best worship, you know, music ever out of all the churches. He doesn't talk about that. The thing he commends the most is their endurance. You know, if we see in verse 10, because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast to what you have so that no one may seize your crown. Now, this isn't the first time we've heard the mention of endurance these past few weeks looking at the other churches. You know, to go over a few, we look at the church in Ephesus in Revelation 2. It says, I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. You look in the church of Smyrna. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and for 10 days you have tribulation. It says to be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Church of Pergamum, I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, that you hold fast my name, and you did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. And then the other one, the church of Thyatira. I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your latter work exceeds the first. It's not a coincidence that God keeps putting these words in these churches. You know, we need endurance in the Christian life. It's not, and I'm not talking about just when things get bad, when, you know, life is rough. I'm talking in the good times too. Have you guys ever seen any kind of sports movie ever made? I'm guessing pretty much everybody. You know, usually they all kind of have the same theme. What happens? You got the underdog team, and you got the big betting favorites. And the final game starts, and the betting favorites, you know, they're just kicking butt. You know, they're doing great. It looks great for them. And what do? They get lazy. They get cocky. They go over. Confident in themselves, and they just kind of say, okay, you know, we've done good, we're good. And what happens? Underdog team comes back, steals the show. We can get lazy as Christians. We can take certain things in our lives and hold on to that and just let our endurance falter. You know, it's great, you know, there's people out there, I'm not saying anybody in here, but a lot of times we'll hold on to something, we'll think that was good enough, you know. Oh, I went on a missions trip 5 years ago, so I did my part. I feel pretty good, you know. I've done my work for the Lord, or, you know, even as churches, you know, as a church, you know, we do some awesome outreaches and stuff. But the thing we have to do, we have to have endurance, and we have to stay faithful to the Lord and work for the Lord and not just think, okay, 5 years down the road, I had an awesome time. We did awesome work for God, and that was enough. We need to have endurance in keeping with him every day of our lives. And that's not just with the good times, that's with the bad times. And, you know, I'm sure each and every one out there has had some rough times. We all go through trials in life. You know, there's been times where I've thought, you know, I'm praying, I feel like I'm working on my relationship with God, I've been reading my Bible, and things aren't going good. You know, things are crumbling around me, and I'm just like, you know, what is going on here? You know, and God's going to give you tribulations even if you're doing what you're supposed to do, per se. Now, we're sinful people, we're always going to have that sin, but you have to remember, you know, the trials we go through in this life, they're only temporary. So, you know, how do we endure through the good and the bad? We have to look at the promise we have in the Bible in front of us. You know, that's something as Christians today in this world, we should be very thankful. You know, we have the Bible. Well, this is my phone, but it has the Bible on it. You know, I can walk around with my phone and have the entire Bible and have God's promise on me, you know, basically all the time. You know, that should give us hope. That should give us, you know, encouragement to keep his word, to stay enduring. You know, if later on in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, we see, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. for the old order of things has passed away. This life on earth, this isn't going to last forever. We need to endure this Christian life. I mentioned last time, if you were here when I preached last time, I went over Romans 12, 1, 1 through 2. And it talks about, you know, being a living sacrifice. We need to endure. We need to be a living sacrifice. And by living, I mean our whole life. I'm not talking about, you know, a moment sacrifice. I'm talking about a living sacrifice. Until our last breath comes out of our bodies, we need to endure. And it's not going to last forever. But we just need to remember this as Christians. And I think that's one of the biggest things we can keep, you know, we can keep from the Church of Philadelphia is have the endurance like them. You know, we don't want to get lazy. We don't want to get cocky when things are going good, but we also don't want to just give up when things aren't looking great. And it's, you know, it's kind of interesting. I was looking over, I was talked with Darren. We looked over kind of the churches, you know, in the beginning of Revelation, and you can kind of see a theme here. You know, if we look at, you know, break down the churches, each and every one of them, we see the church of Ephesus, you know, their big gripe was they had lack of love. And then, you know, they're down here. You have the church of Smyrna, you know, look pretty good, endure. Back to Pergamum, you know, they had the teachings of Balaam, sexual immorality. And then we get the church of Thyatira. I knew I was going to say that wrong. But, you know, they were practicing sexual immorality, eating food sacrificed to idols. The church in Sardis was shown dead. But then we see back at Church of Philadelphia, endure. And then next week, we're going to be going over the Church of Laodicea, which their biggest gripe was being lukewarm, which is, you know, they're not on fire for the Lord. They're not cold and refreshing. They're just kind of stagnant, which, you know, when you think about, when you think of the Lord and the love he has for us, do we really just want to be kind of whatever about it? You know, does Jesus' sacrifice that he made for us, should we just be walking around lukewarm and, you know, like, oh, that's nice and all. Glad you died for my sins. No, we need to endure. We need to have that faith and love. And, you know, as a church, not just us, any church, we could see, you know, you don't have to be just one. We can go through phases. But the thing that's mentioned in most of these churches, as well as, you know, the biggest one we're talking about today, Church of Philadelphia, is the endurance. We need to have endurance as a church. We need to have endurance as Christians in general in our lives. So that's one of the things I really wanted to hit on today. So that about wraps it up for me today. I'm keeping with my tradition of keeping a little shorter than usual. But, you know, if we go, just to go over everything again, you know, things we can pick out from this. We know Jesus is all powerful. God is all sovereign. Nothing can separate us from him once he has us. We know that, We know that God, everybody's going to acknowledge him in the end. You can try to deny God all you want. You can put these worldly things in front of you as blinders. But in the end, everybody will know that Jesus is the Lord. We know that we shouldn't limit ourselves on our own strength. We need to rely on God and his strength. Don't doubt yourselves. Just trust in God. And then the biggest thing I wanted to hit on today was the endurance that we need to have as Christians in our church, as a church, and in our lives as well. So at this time, I'd like to invite the praise team back up. And I'd just like to, you know, put it out there. If any of you, if this is your first time or you don't know where you stand on things and you want to talk to somebody, you're welcome to talk to me after the service. You can talk to Darren, find somebody you're comfortable with. If you want to know more about Jesus Christ and what he's done for you, don't wait. Don't put it off. So often we put that off. You think, I'll wait. Don't wait. You know, come find somebody. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for these words you've given us today. And I pray that you let us be a church of endurance. Let us look at the good qualities the Church of Philadelphia had. And just also know, you know, when things are good or when things are bad, that we just have that endurance that you ask of us, Lord. And I pray if there's anybody here that doesn't know the sacrifice of your son, Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins on the cross to save us and rose 3 days later, I ask that you just work in their hearts, Lord. Put your Holy Spirit on them. Let them find somebody to talk to. Let them come to anybody here, someone they're comfortable with, Lord, and just put that heavy on their heart that they don't wait, that they come and talk to somebody, Lord. Thank you for everything you've done for us today, God, and just our lives, Lord. In your name, amen.